Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. Today we are covering 76 mods, music by Southern River Band, Let It Ride, socials at the 4WD podcast on Instagram, all of our episodes on Backchat's YouTube and Patreons. Thank you for your support, patrons.
Patrons. On Patreon.
On Patreon. It's up for debate, I reckon. Welcome, Ronnie.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Nice. Good start. Welcome, Jaden. I'm good, mate. I'm good, thanks. Jaden, how are you?
Yeah, doing well, mate. Good. Thank you. It's been a good day.
Yeah, great day. We're still getting used to the new digs. We've got new mics.
We do have new mics. It's so clear. You boys have got new mics. I'm stuck with the
old stuff. You're stuck with the old stuff.
But you sound pretty old over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, do I sound a bit echoey?
There's a difference. There is a difference. So whatever these mics are.
Good sure to see you collected yourself there, because you were losing yourself before. Jaden behind, the man behind. That's why I was a little bit, welcome.
A bit lost, were you?
Yeah, I was like, oh, hang on.
Yeah, you kind of jumped us a bit with that start, but anyway. Yeah. We're live, we're flying.
Sorry, boys, but we're in. We won't be in this location for long, by the way.
Oh, we're going to move?
Yeah, we're moving to the front room.
There's plenty of choices in the new studio.
Yeah, but you know what? The front room has a fire pit.
Makes sense.
Is that why?
Little makes live sense. Fire pit.
Yeah. That'll be nice in the winter when we can actually fire that up. Maybe does it still know. Work? Probably doesn't.
Oh, you know, it's been too hot to test.
It's been very warm.
It's like 39 today.
Mate, it's bloody warm. I mean, you guys can't see me on camera, but I'm sitting over here with no clothes on. It's that hot.
Yeah, my eyes keep just darting.
Yeah, stop looking at me, mate.
Hey, if you've been following along for a few weeks now, you'd know about the new car Radar. We're still coming up with a little sound and a name. So we're open to names for this segment too, aren't we? Jaden's slow again. Wake up, mate.
Sorry, mate. I've got to do so many things at once.
You do. But anyway, today. New car Radar.
New car Radar. Yeah. Let's stick with it.
Let's go. I reckon we just call it New Car Radar. Don't ride in.
On the radar.
On the radar.
What if it's a truck?
That's right, because you have a couple ideas, don't you?
Yeah.
On the radar.
On the radar.
On the radar. Scope. New car radar. New on the radar. Yep. We'll work with it.
So what's popping up on your
What's
radar?
Popping up today? We have covered the old or the bigger brother of this vehicle in a recent episode. So today we're covering the Tank 300, the 300 Hybrid, and the 330 Limited Edition.
There's a 330?
There's a 330, which is my pick of the bunch, but let's get to a little bit of the details. Have you seen these before?
I have, and they're like the newer style cheap Cherokee sort of knockoff, I reckon.
Interesting call, the knockoff. You got to be careful. They do. They look a lot kind of like the older Cherokee.
Look, it kind of looks between a Cherokee and a Ineos Grenadier.
Yeah, they do. I was going to say that too.
The Grenadierish.
Yeah. So the 330, which is the limited edition, that's apparently sold out within 6 seconds. So they released 1,000 models. So there's only 1,000 models available. 6 seconds.
Okay, well, sold out where? In the world or in Australia?
I believe that's in Australia. Jaden.
Australia.
He's put this in and he's given me the shrug of the shoulders to say he doesn't know. I'm going to say Australia because I reckon there's 1,000 on the... Like, I don't... No, it's not, is it?
It wouldn't be China. That'd sell a million in 6 seconds.
We're going to say Australia. Let's just go. That we shouldn't have doubted ourselves.
Well, it's a limited edition car. I think that from my research, there's only 1,000 made.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking it's 6 seconds. It's sold out in China. Well, from my memory, my research that I did, it was 6 seconds in, like, it was probably worldwide, but specifically China.
So would it come down to their ping rating, basically?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've got a real fast ping.
So this is a cool looking car, though, this 330 I'm going to start with.
You like it?
I really like the look of it. Like, if this was in the Australian market, I'm not sure if this 330 limited edition is going to be here. The Tank 300s are definitely here.
They're here
on the road, and I'm seeing plenty of them.
They've done a few gnarly things I've seen on YouTube.
Yep.
Now, there was one that sort of broke some axles, I believe. Might have been a front CV or something. Something broke on that trying to do something, but it might have been the way it was driven as well.
Yeah, okay.
However, there's a few people that put them through their paces. I know that. What I do want to know is how much weight difference is between a 300 and a 500, and if you could find that one out.
Yeah.
Because it's a similar engine, right?
Yeah, well, if you have a look for that, Jaden, so the 330, which is the limited edition, has a 3-litre twin-turbo petrol V6 engine, which is a pretty, I'm pretty happy with that. That's why I'm saying the look of this car plus what's under the hood, it's not a bad combo. And like you say, it's got that, it sort of has this sort of matte finish on it, the one I'm looking at.
Whether you like the car looks or not, it looks off-roady.
It does, yeah. Yep. Especially in this 330 edition. We step up to the Tank 300. You've got a 2-litre turbo, 4-cylinder petrol engine, and you've got 162 kilowatts of power with 380 newton metres of torque. You go to the 300 hybrid, the same engine with an added electric motor that bumps up the power and torque to 255 kilowatts and 648 newton metres of torque. So it's a pretty good little bump for that added hybrid option.
So it's like it's going to work like the Formula One car then, because it's bumping up the power, right? So, you know, they get their lap times, they've got to charge the battery, and then they go for it. So I wonder if you're like driving the dunes, you're like, all right, this is a big dune, I've been charging my battery, let's get up it. I don't know, is it like that or what?
Maybe.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, then I pose a question for you, Ronnie. Does the hybrid part of this engine, because we've spoken about electric, fully electric cars and all that sort of thing, not having its place in the Australian four-wheel drive market just now. It will improve. Does the hybrid add a little bit less reliability in your mind because of the electrics in it?
I would have to say yes, it would add, because it adds that other layer of something that can go wrong.
Yep.
And if it's able, if it has a cutoff switch or something where it's like, look, the electrical system is stuffed, let's just go to the override and then keep driving on the petrol or whatever. Yep. If they do a system like that, which would make sense for an off-road vehicle, the only thing is most of the world don't think about that because they don't have conditions like Australia does.
Yep.
It's pretty rough here and it's pretty remote. So it'll be like if you're ride the back of Siberia or something, that'd be the same situation. You'd want something, if it fails, part of the system fails, something else can take over. Yes, you're not going to have that added power, but at least you can get home.
Yep.
I think that's pretty important. But let's just assume it doesn't have that because I'll be 99% sure it wouldn't have it without even knowing too much about this car. Yes, less reliable. However, it doesn't mean that I don't think hybrids don't have a place in Australia. I mean, hybrids are kind of exciting, I think.
Absolutely.
Because you can get you can go on a charge. It's going to give you a longer duration. And if it can trickle charge as you're driving as well, like with solar, like if they improve on that. And China kind of leaders in the battery thing,
Yep.
I mean, everything comes from China.
Yeah, true. Did you have any luck, Jaden, with what you were searching up?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of things. The 330 was only available for the Chinese market.
Yeah, I just found that myself, actually.
Not available to come to Australia.
I'm spewing about that because this is a nice looking... Have you seen it, Ronnie?
Have a look.
That's a limited edition. Like, it's a good looking car.
So, 1,000 only in a population of 1.6 billion or something.
I wonder what they were going for.
Yeah, so it's 1,000 examples. Whatever that means, but it's like they've only made 1,000 so far. Right. So I'm assuming they're going to make more
Yeah,
potentially, especially considering it's sold out within six seconds. It's not bad at all.
Strike, right?
So they might make more, but at the moment, from what I can see, and this is just like government documents that this has been unearthed in.
Yep.
That it's only 1,000 examples.
Okay.
As for the weight,
yes,
the Tank 300 has a curb weight of 2,155 kilos to 2,313 kilos. And the Tank 500 is 2455 to 2535.
You mean the 500? Did you say 400?
Did what? I say 500? 400. Yeah, the Tank 500, sorry.
Yeah.
Is 2455 to 2535 kilos.
Okay.
So that's the curb weight.
Yeah, a couple of hundred kilos.
So a little bit more.
If you go the top spec or the low spec, it seems like about a couple of hundred kilos between them.
Yeah.
There you go.
Was that everything?
Yeah. Well, I'm just finishing up on the, probably looked at the 330, which we can't actually get our hands on, but
I think it's just an interesting car, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really like cool car. Yeah, I do. I mean, I'd love to have a go at it for sure, but I'm seeing some examples of, I don't really love the look of the standard 300 or the 300 hybrid. I do enjoy the interior. That looks really nice. A bit like the Tank 500. I thought that interior was very classy.
Yeah.
Which not all four-wheel drivers are looking for, but these might be one of those other options like a Prado where it's a lot of, you know, bitumen driving and on-road stuff. But there are the black actually makes the Tank 300 look a lot tougher.
Is it black ceiling as well?
On the interior?
Yeah.
Interior looks to be black. Now, I'm not sure what sort of model that is, if there's different sort of specs, but
that's cool.
I don't have a ceiling. But the exterior in a black, I think that looks like quite a decent...
That looks like a Jeep.
Yeah, it does look like a Jeep.
That looks like a Jeep.
Which, look all right.
Which I'm guessing that's what they're going for, right?
Well, it really reminds me of a Jeep Patriot.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. The question is it more reliable than a Jeep?
Yet to be seen. Like we said with the 500, it's going to be...
Yeah.
We're going to need time to figure that out.
Probably will be.
Tell you what,
reliable.
I'm seeing some done up with different bars and flares and roof racks on, snorkel. They look all right.
Yeah.
What would you go? V8 Land Cruiser?
Don't ask me this.
Or the Tank 330?
Don't ask me this.
Come on, mate.
Oh, would you go a 2.8 litre 76 or would you go to Tank?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's actually, that's probably a tough one.
Like, price. What's the price?
Yeah, so, well, I'm only going the 330. So okay. If you ask me that, I'm not going to Tank 300 with that 2 litre engine, 4-cylinder.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that. So the 330 would, but I don't know.
So the 330 is about $72,000 Australian dollars.
Oh, okay.
But that was
I'm going to Land
Cruiser. That was a limited edition.
Yeah, so that's the 330, which is the one that he wants.
Yep.
Okay.
What was the other one? With Tank 500.
It's a fair whack of money, isn't
it? No, the Tank 300 or the Land Cruiser. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. No, the ones you liked. You liked the 330 and the 500?
Yeah, I like the 500. I don't like the... I don't know about the 300.
So that 330 limited edition, it costs more than the 500, if I'm correct?
Yeah, Australian dollars it did. So, yeah, it was about 66, I reckon, from memory on the Tank 500.
That's up there. That's why I'm saying that seems like a lot.
No, I'd be going the 2.8 Land Cruiser, no worries. But I think this is going to have it will have a decent place in the market. When you compare this to the 5-door Jimny, I think I'm preferring the Tank 300.
Really?
Like the standard Tank 300.
I guess like more like off-roady cars, right? Because to me that shows a company that's trying to make a four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Not someone who's just making like an SUV and then just whacking, oh yeah, it's got four-wheel drive as well.
Yeah.
So this is more targeted to your off-road toughness kind of thing. So
definitely.
I think in that aspect it's pretty good because we are running a bit low on options or lower on options moving forward because you look at the new Pajeros and stuff, they're far from what they used to be. You know,
yes.
If you go back to the solid versions and then even after the solid version, there's still some good Pajeros and stuff, but then they sort of seem to taper off a bit, I feel. Mitsubishi had a few. They had the Challenger a while back as well. So, So it's good to have more options.
Yeah. One quick thing to wrap it up. So on Car Expert Australia, the So this is the 2024 GWM Tank 300. So there's a Tank 300 Lux, Tank 300 Ultra. Then there's a Tank 300 Lux with the hybrid option and a Tank 300 Ultra with the hybrid option. And going up in price, so the 300 Lux, $46,990, 300 Ultra, $59,990. Add the hybrid. On the Lux, you go up to $55,990 and the Ultra of the hybrid, $69,990. So if you want to go the Tank 300 Ultra minus the hybrid, $50,000, which is a pretty affordable brand new four-wheel drive in the current market.
Yeah, but if you go the extra 10 to 15, you're in the 500 territory.
True. What are we going, yes or no? Jaden, I'll start with you.
For
just the Tank 300, no 330.
No.
Do you see it having a place?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Maybe
like not. As a cheaper option for a four-wheel drive, someone to get into the market with a brand new four-wheel drive. Yes, but is it, I don't know, is it reliable?
Okay.
Is it going to last?
I'll ask you a different question.
Okay, yep.
Is it an off-road vehicle? Do you see it being an off-road vehicle, purchased for an off-road vehicle?
I see it being an off-road vehicle, but I'm looking a bit deeper into it, and this is totally my opinion here, but I kind of feel like they've taken on like a, hey, Jeep, we're doing this, you know, kind of thing. Yep. So it looks like a bit of a lot of people frowning on this car.
Yep.
But there'll be a lot of people maybe excited about it too.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right.
It's definitely there to compete.
Yep. Well, let's wrap up the new car radar, whatever we're going to call it. But let us know if you like this little segment, because it's something that we want to do going forward. We think there's so much on the market just
at the moment.
At the moment, in terms of what's out there, and if we dive into trucks and different buses and I don't know what we can dive into, but if there's something that you want us to do a little bit of research on, let us know. We can have a look. Ronnie can give you his thoughts and we'll see how it goes. But
doesn't
if you like it, let
cars,
us know.
I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get, if there's like a particular out there product or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let us know.
We're keen to learn as well. So
yep.
Hit us up. Righto, let's move on to the flavour of the year so far and the end of last year, to be honest. And there's a lot of hype building up into it. So it's been around for a while now in our heads. But you've had it for what? The 76 I'm talking about. The 2.8 litre 76. Yeah. How long have you had it now?
Oh, well, I asked the kids that today when I dropped them off at school. I said, did I have this car before school holidays or after? And I said, no, just before.
Just
so
before, right.
We're looking at 2 months.
So you've had it 2 months. And if people are sick of hearing about the 76, I am sorry because I am not. So we are going to keep talking about it because I'm so keen to see where this thing goes. And we've had a look at all the test stock. Now, you've put on your own YouTube channel pretty much.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of the testing stock now. You've done the towing, you've done the sand, you've done the rock. Probably haven't had much mud because it hasn't been wet, but beggars can't be choosers. So we've seen what it can do in its stock form in a lot of different conditions and towing and whatever you call that stuff. I don't know. I'm out of words, but
been through a fair bit.
It's been through a bit. And you're still loving it. Am I right?
Still loving it. And yes. I didn't expect to either, you know, so it's a bit strange and I feel like I'm like without knowingly going into it, I'm actually more committed to the car now because the seed is now starting to sprout as I'm starting to bolt things on it.
Yep. Yeah, so it's so interesting for me to see how you have reacted to this. Now, are you copping a bit of hate from the V8 lovers out there?
I wouldn't say I'm there's always some haters. There'll be some haters out there. But I'm seeing a lot of people getting defensive.
Yeah, over the V8s.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting because I was really disappointed myself because it was my own V8 that couldn't stand up to the challenge, but I just found that I was looking for excuses that day.
Yeah.
And in the comments, everyone's looking for excuses for the V8. They're questioning the tune. They're questioning, 35s versus the stock.
Yeah.
Well, I made it clear from the start of the video, hey, you know, and it's got power and you have to power them. And people have done stock versus stock V8 and 2.8.
Yep.
And the 2.8 just blitzes it because it's a slug stock. You have to tune them if you want to tow, for instance, or do other things with them or put a lot of weight on them. So moving forward, to answer a lot of these people, we're going to put 35s on it, put the same caravan on the back, if we can get the same caravan. If not, we'll get something equal or heavier, and we'll see if we can get up that hill holding 100 the whole way.
Yep.
So that's going to be the challenge.
That's coming up.
That's coming up. Yep. Yeah. That's definitely in the plan. So in order to fit 35s, we got lift and a bit of a little bit of adjusting underneath. There's like another cross member that holds a bash plate for the new transmission.
Right.
So that needs to be altered. Otherwise, if you lift it, the drive shaft on the front is likely going to fail out on that plate or on the cross member.
Yep. Righto. So we've done it in the past, and now this might have been 30 episodes ago now. I'm not sure. We've been here a while. But
what are you up to, 36?
So we're deeper in now. So we were obviously expert, and we're calling it enthusiast, but it's definitely a novice.
Oh, you're an enthusiast, mate.
Enthusiast, yes, I am. But
wolf in sheep's clothing, judging by his car.
Yeah,
he is, isn't he?
Thanks for that one, Jono. I just want to ask you, because we did like mods that you do when you're starting out four-wheel driving and all of that, and hopefully there's people out there that have been able to learn from things that you've done in the past, things that I've done when I started out not that long ago. So now I want to touch on the mods. Now, you are not starting out. So what are the mods that you are looking to do first up? Now, we have briefly touched on this, so I'm aware that we might be covering old tracks, but some of the things that are priorities for you to get onto this 76, because the way that you're loving it, I know that, and this is talking off air, I know that you want to get out in it more. So what needs to get on it pronto for you to do that?
Okay, so pronto are those rock sliders, and they're actually sitting at On Track Fabrication right now. They're going to be bolted on days away from now.
Yep.
I just got to get time to get there. That needs to go on pronto, because some of the stuff I want to do with it, I want to follow the exact same trail that the 79 has on those big trepidors. So I want to take it up through this crevasse, these two rocks on the Mundaring power line track, and sort of to see how it goes. And I'm very confident it's going to do it well because it's shorter wheelbase. But in order to do stuff like that, I need to put protection on it. I'm even looking at wrapping the car. I've got wrap coming. I'm just not sure I want to put the color on anymore. I kind of got a bit of cold feet on that one.
What color are you going?
It's like a khaki green.
That's right. You did tell
me. Yeah. It's a khaki green. And look, I know it's going to look great, but I just don't want it to look too much like someone else's car.
Yeah. Because you didn't want the sandy, did you, originally?
But it's growing on me.
Yeah. It's just all they had.
Yeah. Oh, it's just,
well, how good does it look when you put bigger tire? Like, you've got the 33s on there at the moment.
That's when it changed my mind.
It looks good.
Yeah, it does. So I kind of want to put clear wrap on it, but just just affordability at the moment, because I'm lifting it and stuff. I need to keep the revenue for those things, because even though I'm lifting the cars, it's purely just to put the 35s on to test them.
Yep.
So
the lift's done.
The lift's not done yet.
Lift's not done. So that's another thing that's going on pronto.
That's like next week.
Next week.
Okay. Yeah. But I am still gathering data on the 33s.
Yep.
So I could have done a lift earlier, but I want to gather the data on the 33s, because we've driven stock, 10.7 litres per 100.
Yep.
I was getting, which is great.
Is that what it's declared at online and in the specs?
No, it never is. It's probably something stupid like 8 or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So when the wife drove it on stock, she could get 9.9 litres per 100.
Right.
When I drive it, it's 10.7.
Okay.
So let's talk real world terms.
Heavy boots.
Yeah, heavy boots. With 33s on it, 11.7.
Okay.
Exactly 1 litre more. And that was measured over 600 kilometres going from here to Busso.
Yep.
And then back. And that's at 110. Headwind on the way there, sidewind on the way back. And that's pretty good fuel economy.
I'd say that's pretty reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting to see what the 35s do then for that, because the jump from the stock tyres to the 33s is quite, it would probably be more significant than what the 33s to the 35s are.
Only slightly.
Okay.
Only slightly.
It would have been more.
Yeah.
Do they come out with stock?
Look, if you get a Workmate Troopy, I believe that they come out with like a 32 point something or actually a 33. So they're kind of geared for it. But obviously, they'll run a bit better on smaller tyres.
Yep.
I reckon if you put 31.5 on this 70 series, it will get better fuel economy than the stock 30.5.
Righto. Yeah, okay.
And the reason for that is sitting at highway speeds between 80 to 100, just that little bit of a bump up works, seems to just work really well on solid axle vehicles.
Yep.
Not so much on IFS. It's kind of about the same. It also depends on how you're driving it.
Yep.
But you seem to get better fuel economy at cruising speeds. It's just a thing. But going to 33s is obviously you hit it by a litre and a 1 litre.
Yep.
And look, if you go full lead foot, you can change it to whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up to you. So you got side rails lift coming, 35s for the test. Are you thinking they're going to be your, what stays on there?
See, that's what I'm not too sure about. I really like it at stock height with 33s.
Yep.
It just looks so staunch, you know.
It's got a good stance on it.
It's got a wicked stance. And I really like that. I just really like stock cars, stock height with the big wheels. Yep. So I may well go back to stock height.
Yep.
That was my initial thought. But you know what? You know what's going to happen, right? I'm going to put on 35s and we're going to go, holy shit, that looks so cool.
Yeah.
And there's so much I want to do in it. And it's a bit of an inconvenience to go up and down, up and down. So likely it's going to stay on 35s. But if I find that the fuel is too bad, I'll find that it doesn't drive well.
Yep.
That's when I'll go back to 33s.
Yep, righto.
And reduce the lift. The problem is lifting the vehicle, which we already know, there's that one crossbender, one difference, but the engine is not as heavy as a V8. So the springs on the front, no one's done springs yet for this new 2.8. So it's probably going to sit pretty high and it might be a bit of a rough ride.
Right.
That's another reason why I might go back to stock until someone brings out a better spring.
Yeah, okay. Yep. All right, we'll keep going. What else is coming up?
Well, so I was assembling a roof rack. And then came to the podcast. So the roof rack is assembled. I just got to put all the hardware on it and then mount it to the vehicle. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like.
Yep.
So we're going with Max Trax on either side.
Yep.
We're going with two quick release boxes on the back. Very similar, almost identical setup to what the Truby has on its roof.
Oh, actually, I just added the two quick release boxes to the top of my front runner rack. Incredible.
It's awesome.
I pump up front runner quite a bit, but they are bloody good, those things.
They come off so easy as well.
Yeah, that is actually, I tried them out for the first time on that camping trip I did a few weeks ago over the long weekend.
Oh, cool.
And just awesome. Loved it. I didn't even put stuff in there that I needed. I just wanted to practice getting up there a couple of times. And I had a soccer ball in there and I don't know what else, maybe a couple of straps or something, but Just to have it up there and jump up on the side step and click it off is so easy. So good.
Do you prefer the round ball when you go camping, do you?
Yeah. Well, I just took it in case I wanted to play a bit of hacky sack. I actually forgot it was up there. So didn't grab it out until I started playing around on the second day. I don't know why I did. Why was I up there? Oh, no, I was grabbing straps actually. I did, and left it in there because the boys had had a few beers. So probably wasn't a great idea pulling the soccer ball out, but. I just love those boxes and the quick release little, I don't even know what you call them. Everything's just so easy to fit.
Yeah, it's just on and off. It's really easy. And because of the wagon and the Troopy, I've got a ladder that's going to go on the back window as well.
Yep.
Just to get up and down so I don't put dents in
that's
the panels.
That's going to look so good.
Yeah. I've done so well keeping dents out of the panel so far.
So the rack's coming on, front runner rack and all the bits to kit that out.
Yeah.
That's going to look pretty tough then.
Yeah, it's going to change the whole dynamics of the vehicle. And the reason why I'm putting the roof rack on is because it's a wagon.
Yeah.
With a ute, and I love how you can just throw a swag in the back of a 79. Yep. And, you're supposed to tie stuff down, but let's be honest, you can just throw a swag in a 79 and off you go, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Fridge in the back or throw an Esky or whatever in and off you go. But with a wagon, you can't really do that. You need to put the swag somewhere. And say if I'm going camping with my kids, well, I'm going to one in the front, one in the back. Where's the swag going to go?
Yeah.
Is it going to go on the back seat? Then that's going to annoy one of my daughters. Is it going to go in the back? Well, no, because I'm going to have either a 20-litre fridge, just a small little fridge, or I'm going to have an Esky, an ice box.
Yep.
So where do you put it? On the roof.
Yep.
And Max Trax, if they get dirty, where do you put them? On the roof.
Yeah. There's another, actually. Have you seen the inflatable Dometic swags?
I have.
What do you reckon? I'm yet to try them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
They're so compact, packed up, that you don't need a roof rack. You don't need a massive tub or tray to put them in, and you just,
yeah,
they're like a backpack size.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, but I'm pretty used to like having the poles, and I know how to fix the poles when you crack them. Yeah. So that's you know, like what I'll be worried about is if you put a little leak or something in it. You wake up in the morning, you're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I reckon I'm going to give it a go, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If I break it, you can come help me fix it.
Where's the valve? Is it on the outside or inside? Because, you know, you could get someone pranking
Well, I've just got one and I haven't opened it up yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So right. I've literally seen it in its compact. I've seen them. I've laid in them before and stuff at the showrooms and all that sort of thing. So I know what they look like set up and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the one, I haven't pumped mine up yet.
I wonder if all those inflatable swags, someone should put a sleep apnea function on it. So when you're sleeping, you can keep blowing it up.
Help the snorers.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, so roof rack. Yeah, that's the next big one.
Roof rack. Look, when a 35 goes on a back door, I'm not sure how that's going to sit.
Yeah.
And I want to try and do everything I can to not have to put a rear bar on.
Really?
I want
for
to
keep, weight?
Yeah, I want to keep it as light as possible. And look, there's even a chance I might do the canning stock route in this 2.8 later in the year because it's flooded, right? So in that case, would I carry a second spare? I likely would, depending on who goes with me, depending on what tire size I'm carrying.
Yep.
I would just throw a carcass on a roof or something.
Okay.
Because that's a lot lighter.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yep.
to buckle, you know, two rims is going to be pretty, you know.
Yeah, you'd be unlucky.
Pretty unlucky. And they're steel rims anyway. I can just knock them out.
Yep.
Apart from that, I don't have power sorted for the rear yet.
Right, okay.
I want to run a 20-litre fridge.
Yeah.
And I don't really... See, I don't know if you're noticing, but I'm wanting to put wrap on the car because I don't want to scratch it. I don't want to put dents in the car. I also don't... You know, so there's still part of me that's not sure how long I'm going to hold on to this vehicle.
Yeah.
Because all these little mods, they're not like vehicle-changing mods.
Yes.
And I'm even talking about lowering the car back down possibly.
Yep.
You know, so that way I have a safeguard if I want to sell it. Yeah, because I'm sure that it will sell anyway on 35s and a big lift. But you know, it's I can bring it back to almost stock form.
Yep,
pretty easy.
Yeah,
bull bars. No one's done any bull bars yet, but it's something that if I could, I would find a bull bar and put it on there probably ASAP because
I'd say so too. Yeah,
I am worried about an animal strike and a lot of the cooling for everything is just right dead center.
Yep,
you know, and I know that bonnet it's not the strongest either, so. Hitting something is going to put an impact pretty badly on it, I reckon.
Just feel like there's more bonnet. It feels like there's more stuff to hit there up is. The front.
There's definitely more stuff to hit. And also parts, because I was talking to a parts guy at one of the Toyotas. So, Phil, if you're listening, we're talking about mirrors. Talking about some mirrors. So, I want to try and get some mirrors from a Troopy to put on my old Troopy. But parts is an issue. So my worry is, what if I hit something now? Because the car's so bloody new, parts are hard to generally get. What if I bust a headlight and a few other things? I've got a car that can't do anything.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Insurance and all that, yeah, that's all good, but insurance don't store the parts.
Yeah, they don't make the... Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. So what happens then?
Well, it's a good point. I didn't really think about that because I always feel like they're so ahead of the car actually coming out that everything's there ready to go when you think about a Hilux or a Ranger and stuff. It just feels like there's already all that there to pick from.
You'd think so, yeah, yeah.
But maybe there's not in this case.
Well, maybe not all the parts, but yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
because
that's fair
enough. I couldn't order any mirrors yet. So at the time I was talking to the parts guy, I couldn't order the mirrors physically because Rafa let me in on... Oh, you know, there's electric mirrors for the Troopy. I was like, holy shit, are you serious?
Yeah. Right.
I need to get some because I've got some shitty eBay mirrors on it right now on the Troopy and oh my God, I just want to get them off. They are so bad.
You might be able to do that around here, just size swipe a couple of cars and knock them off.
Just find a BMW, put some beer.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, okay. So it's funny that listening to you say all of this and the mods that you're looking at doing, it's very, very similar to what we thought when you're starting out is worth looking into. Bull bar if you're off-roading, night driving, all that sort of stuff. A 12-volt setup to keep yourself comfortable at night. But roof rack for storage.
But what 12-volt setup? What are you thinking I'm going to do?
I reckon you'll be looking at a 48-volt system like the new Hilux. I reckon you Because I've recently spoken to you about what I should do in my car,
yeah.
I feel like you'll be going a slimline lithium.
That would be cool.
Or actually, I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball. I reckon you're going to go just like a portable bank.
I think you hit it right on the head there.
Actually?
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a portable bank.
Right. I reckon, and I only say that because I don't reckon you'd ask me to say what I think. You were just you knew that there was a different answer. Yeah, you knew I wouldn't have said that. But
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I was wondering if the 20-litre fridge go to that, because who puts a 20-litre fridge in a car? You don't, wouldn't need too much to run that, right?
Yeah. So, okay, so that's another interesting, because it's something that I looked at too.
Yeah.
After speaking to you.
Oh, like a smaller fridge? Oh, no, portable.
Just the bank, yeah.
Because,
you know, I'm a part-time camper, so it does make a bit of sense, but...
Yeah, well, because you can... So say if you've got a fridge in the back and it's easy to pull out, the cool thing about a portable power bank is you're on the beach, right? Yep. Let's kick back and have some coldies watching the sunset down there.
Yep.
Let's just get the boys, drag the battery down.
Yep.
They don't weigh much, 16 kilos, and then drag the fridge down. How cool would that be?
That would be bloody cool. That's the reason I looked at it too, but...
Yeah. People can charge their phone while they're there.
Exactly.
On your
Everyone
phone, doom scrolling while you're camping.
On Spotify.
No, don't do that.
No, don't look at your phone camping. All right, so we've got a few of the main ones. Any others that you want to throw in there that are big, sort of your bigger ticket items like these have been?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tow bar,
yep.
That was a nightmare to install. I know we've spoken about that a little bit, and then a tow pro to run, you know, to obviously be able to tow things. So,
yep.
I've got a trip coming up later in the year with the family, in a couple of months actually, to Shark Bay. I know we spoke about that, but I will use the 76 series to tow to that location.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, one
for two
other
reasons.
Thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get to a couple of those little questions when we start to finish up, but I want to know what is your plan in the back? Like, I haven't spoken about that. Like, what's the drawers? Are you going to leave it just...
Well,
bones.
I'm glad to go on there because I've got this concept that I want to try out, and it's going to be DIY because...
Here we go.
I want to see how this works out. So my vision is at the moment, and I've been talking to the boys about it at HQ, and we're looking at...
How good would it be to have a place called HQ?
The back cave.
This technically is HQ.
This is HQ, but like Ronnie's got another HQ.
HQ too.
He's got so many HQs.
I like it. HQ, it's cool.
So what I'm thinking is I'm dividing the half of the back. One side the fridge will be.
Yep.
And then I'm making space for those Wolfpack boxes.
Yeah, great.
The Wolfpack Pros. So they can go in there or they can go on the roof.
They
so
become a drawer system really, don't they?
They do.
They just sit on each other and out they come. And
that's it. And you can pre-label them and chuck them in.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to get more because I've rearranged the back cave downstairs and I've got this shelf of just like 79 box, 76 box, 78 box.
Is that at HQ?
Yes, at HQ, right? HQ 1. But what I want to do in the back there is make it a really light setup but attainable. And because it's a wagon, many people have a wagon, I don't want to just make it 76 based. I want to make it wagon based.
Okay.
So anyone who buys a secondhand car, wagon, or a brand new wagon, if you are not wanting to deck it out like a permanent tourer, what do you do then? Well, hopefully my system works. I want to do a three-latched, I want to do a wooden board fixed to the bottom.
Yep.
Use anchor points for that.
Yep.
Then I want to put this system in that has two drawers only. The drawers don't have runners or anything. They're just going to slide in.
Yep.
Or nylon sliders, have a stopper so it doesn't just fall out, and carpet it to take all the noise out of it. It'll be made out of wood, but it's going to be so simple. You pull the two drawers out, unlatch, unlatch, unlatch. So three latches you undo, pull the whole thing out, done.
Right.
Now I can put the dog in.
Yep.
So they've got to be latches that aren't sharp, so I can just that out, dog in.
Yeah. Dog, that's at a stretch. It's probably a horse.
Yeah, 60 kilo. Is it a midget horse?
Horse.
Or a giant
I've got
dog.
A big dog that weighs 36 kilos. This thing's a horse. Right, that's cool because I'm really fascinated anytime someone, like on YouTube, because that's all I can see, sets up a 76 in the back because I'd love to see what they can do with the space. I think they're called the Lifestyle Pioneers, I reckon. Cool little family.
I think I've seen them,
doing their thing around Australia. They've got a really nice setup in the back of their 76 and... I like seeing how people sort of create, yeah, their own little space back there.
So they've done a little DIY thing as well?
Yeah, I reckon I think he did do quite a bit of it himself. I'm pretty sure I watched that video and it was a lot of his own work, yeah.
Yeah. I might have to go have a look, maybe pinch a few ideas.
Yeah, well, that's what it's good for, isn't it? I don't even have a 76, I was pinching ideas. But, I love your idea of just the boxes being the drawers, basically.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Obviously, you'll have your structure. Yeah. But
in and out. And you know what?
Yeah.
Because you just mentioned that, maybe I don't do a drawer that comes in and out, or just one, and then I'll just do a box location for the other one.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you could just, they're so adaptable. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you got any of those, Jaden? After hearing us ramble on about them every single episode?
Any of the boxes?
The Wolfpack Pros?
I haven't.
Oh, mate.
I haven't. It's on the list to get.
Yeah, they're bloody good. Like, just even two of them, I reckon, like, just for your bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I'd have a workshop full of them if I could.
Yeah.
If you could get them.
It's just so easy to organise. Because they're shiny black, so you can write on it with white pen, permanent pen. And then if you're changing what's in it, you just run some alcohol over it and she's done, you know.
Yeah.
They're bloody good.
I do want to redo the whole system in the rear of the car.
Lifestyle Pioneers.
Take out your drawers, just redo it all.
So, Jaden, do you find because you have permanent drawers in the back of a wagon, yours being a 76 as well, are there times where you're like, I wish I could just take it out because I want to move something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah. When you were talking about like your setup, sounds like a dream.
Yeah. Because I find it interesting. It's I've been through the canopy. I've been through the setups and all that stuff. And even the cool setup I've got in my Troopy. Now, the Troopy, I don't really want to change the inside because it's freaking awesome. It's great.
Mm.
But if I only had the Troopy and I didn't have any other cars to use, because I've got a ute I can cast stuff with. I've got a wagon, you know, so three cars, one's going to go.
All V8s.
But
must be nice.
would be very nice.
But if I only had the Troopy, that was it, I would likely pull half of that stuff out. One, to reduce weight, but also to make it more versatile. It's versatile as it is, but it's like a lunchbox versatile. It's for this. It's for camping, for touring. That's what the car's for. It's not a daily driver. It can't be, you know what I mean? So if you commit to a tourer, it's no longer a daily driver. So if you have a daily driver four-wheel drive, it has to be versatile. You've got to be able to pull stuff out, put stuff in, change it up, adaptable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think about the rooftop tent as well. Like, to be able to take that on and off.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
100%. That's great. But if you cut your roof, you're committed.
Yeah, if you cut your roof, you don't need to take it off. Like you don't need to like replace anything, right? Like it's already
That's true.
You don't have that massive wind barrier up there that's just taking away your fuel every time you drive in the city.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, boys, going here. Oh, I am steaming.
Mate, it's hot here, but so hot.
I sense the end coming near. So just real quick, just want to say,
I'm not wrapping this up. I'm just complaining.
So
wait till tomorrow.
Don't forget, Jaden's from bloody Newman. You know,
yes,
so
yeah, he's fine.
We have to put a brave face on here.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not hot. Not hot at all. So if I might need a jacket.
Took your shoes off. You are hot.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah, get the shoes off. Yeah, why am I wearing these bloody boots?
Mate, you're in jeans.
I know.
What are you doing?
I'm acclimatising.
Yeah, when we talk 76, he means business.
He means business. He knew. Oh.
Look at that. Good flexibility.
Oh, wow.
Good flexibility.
Don't ask me to get up in a hurry.
Sorry, you were going to say something though.
Well, yeah, so that's all the wagon stuff, right? But I reckon the way you set your Ranger up with how that draws out with all the boxes in there, I reckon that is a foolproof setup for like a daily driver.
Yeah.
You can literally adapt it. You can just change whatever the heck you want. It's not like you've got a fixed canopy. You know, fixed canopy, nothing wrong with that. But it's a permanent tour. It's not a daily driver.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's so easy for me because, and the best part about it is I always toy with ideas of, because I can just four bolts and I rip that frame off. And I'm back to a tub, not many more bolts, and I'm ripping the drawer structure out. It doesn't mean I can't have the six boxes in the tub somewhere either. Like stack three on top of each other, tie them down. There's your drawer system. I've got everything that I had with me without the drawers actually being in there. So I've toyed with that idea because then I get the tub back and I can we're about to sort of do some big items at the house and stuff like that, and I can actually you know, I could put a fridge in the back of the ute, which I can't do at the moment. So
yeah,
okay. I've got like all these options that I can, it's not a jack off canopy at all, but it's pretty much is. I can easily do stuff like that. So, but I just think the boxes, I can't speak more highly of those front runner Wolfpack Pros. They are just everything.
I think the best part about them is the lightweight.
Yes. Yeah.
The lightweight, and they're a decent size. You can fit a camp oven and things in it. Yep. And you can put the high lid on. Before they had the high lid, you were limited.
High lid's good.
Yeah. Before that, I had a few bulging lids. They wouldn't sit properly because I put too much in them.
Yeah.
And you had to really pack it. But with a high lid, it's easy because you always underpack it.
People are probably saying, why don't you just go to Bunnings or Kmart and grab some plastic boxes? The thing is, they don't...
You can, but they'll break.
They can, they'll break. And they don't have the quick latch system that to attach them to the roof rack or...
No, you have to...
They don't stack on straps.
And
there's no... It's just they're not that expensive like that they are, but for what you're paying for it, so they're like $60.
Yeah, you know, 60, 65 or something. Yeah,
that's pretty good for what you're getting. Yeah. So you've got a full drawer system if you want. You buy four of those, five of those. You've basically got everything you can fit in drawers for God knows how much less than what you're paying for a full drawer system.
And they sit really good on those garage shelves, you know.
Yeah.
Which you can get for under $60.
It's everything. It's just, this is not a front runner promo at all, but they're just a good product, and I'm happy to pump good products.
Yeah.
So anyway, quick recap. Side rails are going on. The lift, just to get the 35s on, see how you go with that. The 35s are coming. The roof rack's ready to go, basically. That's just got to go on top of the car.
Yep.
12-volt setup, you need in, but you're not sure what you're doing.
Not sure what I'm doing. There's some stuff coming. I'm just having a bit of a play with to see what that's like.
Yep.
But that's kind of a lot like that.
Yep.
You can do, you can commit and put stuff in there, or you can make it so you just take it in and out.
Yep.
But that's the decision I have to make with the whole draw thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Wrap, bull bar.
Maybe wrap.
There's a good one. Maybe wrap, bull bar when you're happy with one that comes out. Mirrors, and the last one was just the setup in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. The mirrors are good. That's for the troopy.
Yeah, okay.
Swap that. Yeah, right. These mirrors are awesome. Yep. These best mirrors I've ever had on a Land Cruiser.
So mirrors cancelled. That's good. That's what we got there. I obviously wasn't listening.
Jaden, you can move them. They're electric.
Oh,
that's a dream. Welcome, fellas.
My passenger side mirror has been stuck in one spot for so long. It's horrible.
Oh, you know what? You remember how before we went and had a bit of lunch, I was saying to Jaden while you're moving your car, while you're moving the Ranger, and Dan was leaving in his Honda CRV.
Yeah, his little CRV, four-wheel drive.
That car looks so familiar because I reversed into one exactly like that. And that put my premium up on my insurance.
Did you check in front of Dan's car?
It wasn't his car. No. Yeah. So this happened in Hyde, because I wanted to tell you the story, but I didn't really get to.
Sorry.
But I thought, now it's good. No, because it was a lot going on outside. So I parked at Hyde. I filled up with fuel. I should have mentioned this in the Holland track one. And I had my daughter in the car. And so what happened was a truck parked in front of me. I'm like, oh, okay. So now I've got to reverse. I can't see out of that mirror. I didn't want to ask my daughter to adjust the mirror because she was quite young at that stage and they usually over adjust. And, you know, it's like, it's all good. So I was like, there's no one behind me. I'll start reversing. Some idiot had parked in the middle of nowhere. And this idiot here, who's calling someone else an idiot for parking there, ran into him. And I completely crushed his car. It was like a slow train wreck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my daughter was like, daddy, daddy, daddy. I was like, what? And then crunch, crunch, crunch. And I heard these ladies, ah.
Were they in there?
They were in the car.
Oh.
And then old mate who parked there, he come walking back like pretty fast. He's like, oh. And then I got out of the car and then I looked at the car and I was like, oh, fucking hell. So I turned to the guy and I said, I am so sorry, but you're parked in a stupid spot.
Your fault, mate.
Yeah. And I thought afterwards, you know, I'm the stupid one for not checking and adjusting the mirror, just because I thought it's an access way. You shouldn't park there, but you always got to check anyway.
Yeah.
What if someone was walking? I didn't look.
Yeah. No, well, you've owned up. I like that.
Yeah. Well, it's not your fault.
I love how in the moment, though, you just got to spray that bloke for parking there. I love that. You're never wrong.
It's like a shit sandwich. It's like an apology.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have done that.
We're all sorry here.
It's my fault, but it's your fault, but it's my fault.
That's gold. All right. So we've got some good mods. So if you, hopefully you've been able to get something out of that. If you are well, if you've got the new 76 or if you've got an old 76,
you got a wagon.
You got a wagon. There's some things that Ronnie is doing straight up. So I'm going to take his word for it. You can too. And I'm sort of encouraging you to because he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, Jaden.
Are you fading there, mate?
Fading.
Are you fading?
No, I've actually come good again.
Come back?
I gave myself a couple of minutes just to listen.
I was going to say something might help you out a bit.
Yeah, it is time for that, isn't it? Around the fire pit. It's too hot.
I didn't know you didn't even... It feel like you've been running the whole time.
Yeah.
In the fireplace.
It is hot.
It's bloody hot.
Ooh. All right. Let's get to it, Jaden.
Let's get into it.
Do I need to explain what Around the Fire Pit is, or do you reckon I take the day off for this one?
Nah, go on, mate. Give us a rundown.
Quickly, Around the Fire Pit is a segment that we do at the end, towards the end of every show, where the listeners, the viewers, you can message in. Jaden will read the questions, some of the best questions out. We try to get to all of them, but we don't have all the time in the day.
Sometimes we bank them.
Yeah, we bank them too, if they're that good. So we've got a few questions from the viewers, from the listeners. Ronnie and I will answer to the best of our abilities. I shut my laptop. I don't know what the questions are. Ronnie doesn't know what the questions are. We are asked on the spot, and we like to just pretend we're around the fire pit. Just a campfire chat.
I actually feel if we're pretending we're around a fire, we might need to move this microphone with me because usually when I'm this hot, I would move back
move
a little bit.
Further away.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
jump
in the water.
Yep.
All right.
Don't you love those fires? Like, you're sitting around a fire, there's always that fire bug around. He'll throw more in there, and you're like, oh, no, move our chairs back in.
Did not need that. Yeah.
And then it diminishes, you're like, oh, I'm going back in again.
Bottom of your shoes are melting.
That was you two. You two were the fire bugs. When we were coming back across another wall, it was you two throwing wood on the fire. Duggo, you as well.
Yeah, because I feel like...
I'm looking at you, mate.
I get lazy when
you're fire was massive.
Now, Ronnie did everything for us at camp, so all I did is stoke the fire all the time.
Stoke the fire. It was a bonfire, mate. It's huge. Burnt my leg hairs off when I was a kilometre away. Maniac. This one from Rataviv. He wants to know, what about the Fortuner? Car we've missed. What do you guys think? Surely it's getting more popular as times go on?
I think the Fortuner is a very, very, very good car. And if I was going to either pick up a Prado or a Fortuner, I reckon I'll pick up the Fortuner because not that many people have done much with them. They're lighter, they're a little bit more nimble, and they kind of still have that Hilux feel about them. So I'm a bit of a fan of the Fortuner for an IFS vehicle, yes.
Is it the Hilux engine?
Yes. It's a 2.8, so it's exactly the same.
Yeah, I reckon as you say, I haven't seen many done up or anything like that, but one of my good mates has got one, and it's stock, but it's a nice car.
Family car.
Yeah,
So I don't know why aren't they as popular as the other?
Because you probably get more luxuries in a Prado.
What's the price difference?
It'll be between 15,000 to 20,000, I'd say, depending on where you're going. I mean, if you go to the top end of it, that has a paddle shift and all that. That's the one I test drove once. Fantastic car. Love that paddle shift. You know, it's so cool actually. The new 70
difference of about $9,000.
I should be able to get a paddle shift and put in there.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted to do that in Hilux, but then I eventually sold it.
So how come the Fortuner comes with it but the Hilux doesn't?
It's only the top of the line Fortuner. So if you get if you get the GR Sport Hilux, that has the paddle shift.
Okay, righto.
Yeah,
but I am definitely not against a Fortuner either. Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's just for me, it's the Everest of, you know, if you want to go that.
You got Hilux, Ranger, Everest, Fortuner,
and I think I like all of them.
Mm.
Yeah,
they're not actually dissimilar priced from the Prado. They range from 53,000 to 66,000, and the Prado is like 63,000 to 70,000.
Yeah, okay, but how many people buy the GX Prado though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I reckon Prados are like 80.
Yeah,
the ones that people are getting.
Yeah, the GXLs
are they? Or
I reckon the GXLs probably the majority sold, and then you got the VX after.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good.
I think Fortuner that, and if you're going against the VX or the GXL, then I think the Fortuner is
I mean the GXL Fortuner is 59K, and the Crusade, which is the top of the line model with the paddle shifts, I assume, 66,000, 67,000.
Yeah, so, and how much was the GX Prado?
I'm looking it up now. GX Prado, 62,830.
Okay.
GXL, 69,530.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather have the top of the line Fortuna over the bottom of the line Prado any day. And I'd be happy with a Fortuna because it's going to do the same, maybe even a better job than the Prado.
Off-road.
Off-road, just because it's so light.
Yeah.
But if you start adding weight and stuff, maybe that might change there. But at the end of the day, it's the same motor, the same running gear, same, should be the same diff ratios too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm.
Same limitations.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the top of the line Fortuna, 67,000. GXL Prado, 69,000. So, like, it's a difference of a couple grand.
Yeah, that's not too bad then. Look, so that, then if you look at it from a resale point of view, that might change my mind a bit. But those prices on the Prado, they're going to go up soon because that new one's coming out. I'm actually surprised those prices are where they are now with the Prado. I would have thought they'd be higher.
Or they might be.
Yeah, I find the Prado an interesting...
As the new one comes out.
Mm. Very interesting, the Prado.
Yeah. Anyway, Jamie Andrews, Ronnie, the new Hilux slash Prado slash, 48-volt system is super interesting and I would very interested in one, invested in learning more about them. If you want to acquire one and test it out, I'd be very grateful.
Done.
Cool. Yeah, well...
So, Jamie Andrews wants you to buy a 48-volt Hilux or Prado, whichever one you want, mate. It's up to you, but you have to get one.
I've got my name down on one for a test drive and... I was thinking about putting my name down for one to buy, but I can't do that with three cars. I shouldn't do that with two cars either. So we'll see.
I've got the last 5-pick question actually. When you're done,
go, mate.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that only two today?
Yeah, put in two today.
Okay. All right. Quick one because I forgot
running long
to ask you before.
Ask me what?
I just want an update on how you see the whole, because you just said there you got to get rid of a car probably. Like you're not going to keep three forever. I just want a quick update on what one.
Why the curly one at the end?
Well, we've got to finish. Everyone's hot and bothered. You may as well just get a bit more hot and bothered.
Okay.
Just thoughts on it. You don't have to give me an answer.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I am likely going to sell one of the V8s.
Really?
Say that again.
I'm likely going to sell one of the V8s. Because my testing has... The duration of a testing has increased. How long does that mean I'm going to keep the 2.8 litre for? Unanswerable question. Especially with what I just said before as well. I could see it going for long term maybe. If it keeps ticking the boxes as it is, it could go for long term. It could be maybe, we're talking years maybe. Or... Who knows? I don't want to say... I'm not actually 100% sure.
Yeah, no sure things in life, but that is...
Yeah.
It's
but unfortunately, one of the V8s is going to have to go because I need some money
there
back
you
to
go.
To replace where the money came from.
Exciting stuff, that
is. 76.
Wow. I'm just going to...
Our patrons would have known about this a bit earlier.
They would have, yeah. You did. And I'm acting surprised, but still didn't give me a sure answer with the patrons.
That wasn't a sure answer, though.
I'm still shocked to hear that actually come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, you're comfortable, aren't you?
I'm probably more shocked about you asking.
I'm so hot. I've got to get my back a different... My back's getting a rest from the sticking of my T-shirt.
Do you want to stand up and have a stretch?
Can you still see me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barely.
So yeah,
is this staying in?
Yeah, why not?
I'm just so intrigued late, by man. That. Let's leave people on a bit of a. Let's leave people on that.
That's it. Four Drive Podcast.
Four Drive Podcast. Yeah, that's us. Driven by Shelter.
Oh no.
I'm just going to get up just because I'm a bit lost here. I just want to make sure that I'm going to. That's let it ride. I know that. That's for sure. Our Four Drive Podcast on Instagram and our episodes on YouTube over at Backchat Studios. That's where you find us.
I'm sorry, V8 owners.
No, he's not.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.